Council will come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams.
Here.
Leonard.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Sten.
Here.
Potter.
Here. I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity they are authorized to represent. Please read the 2 p.m. time certain.
Item 1451, adopt the mission of the Portland Higher Education Subcommittee, authorized by the Oregon State Board of Higher Education, as part of an emerging Portland knowledge industry strategy.
Commissioner Adams.
Thank you, Mayor. When I ran as a candidate for the Portland City Council, one of the items that I talked about was the need for a higher education advocate to be appointed from the membership of the Portland City Council. This came out of my work in the previous mayor's office, that the responsibilities of being an advocate for K through 12 were so significant that it was very difficult for one elected official to do both K through 12 and post secondary education advocacy. So I asked the mayor to create the position of higher education advocate, which he was generous enough to do, and to assign me that responsibility. So today's issue before us falls under that rubric as the higher education advocate from the Portland City Council. I'd like to welcome Jim Francisconi and guests from the Portland Higher Education Subcommittee today. The Oregon State Board of Higher Education has established this subcommittee to provide the State Board with an analysis and options to providing for the current and future needs of higher education in Greater Portland. And Mr. Francisconi will be telling us about the work today. The work of the committee lines up well with work that's been going on in my office for a couple of years regarding Knowledge City strategy. Economic prosperity and higher education have become so strongly linked that it's practical to discuss higher education as a knowledge industry. In fact, Portland has 31 institutions of post-secondary education or higher education. And if we compare them to the 9 existing targeted industries that have been established by this city council and that are part of the mission of the Portland Development Commission, the knowledge industry in Portland is by far the largest, and yet it is not designated as a targeted industry. It provides more than 31,000 jobs in Portland. Its average salary is $56,700, and its estimated payroll is $1.7 billion, including research hospitals. These are the highest. The knowledge industry is the largest in terms of the number of jobs that are contained with it. It compares very well in terms of the average salary, and it is the largest industry in the city of Portland. It also has some qualitative benefits to the city of Portland. It is a very stable industry. It has its ups and downs, but not as radical of up and downs during economic downturns as other industries. Higher education institutions do not generally pick up and move as other industries can. They also provide jobs with a significant portion of which provide benefits, and of course, they fulfill their missions of educating Portlanders and others who seek to live here. It's important that we have a more successful higher education institutions here in the Portland area. Over the next 10 years, it's estimated that 80% of the high-wage jobs in Oregon will require at least a bachelor's degree. And when you look at the comparative city information on how Portland compares with other cities around the nation, we do pretty well in terms of being an educated community as measured by bachelor's degrees, but we still have plenty of good-paying jobs in the city of Portland and in the Portland region where the employer has to go outside of Portland and the Portland region to get qualified applicants. We would like more of those jobs going to Portlanders. So with that, I would like to bring up Jane Ames, who will be joined by Mark Wubbled of Portland State University, to go through some of the basic statistics about our emerging knowledge industry strategy. Jane.
Hello, Jane Ames, thank you very much.
I am going to talk about just a few of the efforts that I've been working on, Sam has been working on for the last few years, and then Mark will go through some of the data that we have been developing and talk about that project. So the first effort that we really started working on was in 2005. We developed and sent out a survey to many of the higher ed institutions in Portland, really to focus on what their economic and environmental impact is on Portland. Since that, we've been working with the information we gathered to develop both a comprehensive and ongoing institutional set of data that can be used for various projects. You have handouts with you, and there's some over on the table that give you the table of contents of the data that we gathered, as well as examples of the data. The complete set is not there. It's quite a bit. So the range of information that we have gathered can and will be used to highlight our institutions and programs. It's quite amazing to me how few Portlanders really understand how many institutions of higher ed we actually have in Portland. It's also to develop an awareness of the current resources and potential needs of these programs and of our city with regard to higher education, to identify the growth in research funding, both by institutions and as an overall set cluster or industry, as we call them. To locate and assess program offerings so that we can understand how these align with the workforce needs of our community. To understand the range of jobs that are provided by higher ed institutions. It's really quite amazing. We think of faculty and administration, but there's really quite a range of job opportunities in higher education. And to provide information to potential students seeking to search out career opportunities. I know when I worked at Grant High School with students, students really were not aware of where they could go for certain programs to fulfill their dreams of what they were going to be when they grew up. We've also been working on establishing relationships with the various institutions and really giving them a very clear message that we are working to establish a proactive role on the part of the city to assist with their growth and success. We have also worked on a cluster project. We are leading an effort to explore a complementary medical cluster in Old Town Chinatown with the Oregon College of Oriental Medicine, who has committed to moving down in the area, as well as talking with the National College of Natural Medicine and Western States Chiropractic College to see what the benefits of co-locating and forming a cluster there could be. This effort is in the discussion and exploration stage at this point. We have worked with regulatory assistance. That's often a very strong and important issue for a lot of the institutions. A couple of the efforts are with Concordia University. We worked with them with PDOT to assess the potential for a partial street vacation in an area where they're going to build their new library and are going to open that library up to the community surrounding to really try to blend where community and university end and begin. With Commissioner Leonard's office and BDS, we worked with a land use determination for a new throwing field that they're also working on. We've worked on advocacy in Salem. We assembled leadership from various institutions to develop a set of priorities for this last legislative session. These folks came from the OSU institution, community colleges, and nonprofit and for-profit private institutions. We sent a letter to the governor from Commissioner Adams and 18 of the institutional leaders to advocate for those priorities. We established advocacy for higher education as a priority. All of you established higher education as a priority in the legislative package this session. That was a first. And you also gathered together and sent letters of support on behalf of various issues we were lobbying for. Our lobbyists followed funding bills with having to do with the Oregon Opportunity Grant Aspire and the overall funding. And Commissioner Adams testified on before Ways and Means, wrote letters, and made numerous calls and visits lobbying during the higher education for higher education priorities. Those are among our initial efforts, and our goal is to continue to support this cluster as well as the individual institutions to fulfill their missions and goals as they align with the priorities and best interests with the City of Portland. And with that, I would like to turn it over to Mark Wubald, who, because of the gracious sharing of his knowledge and ability, by the Vice President of Financial and Administration, Lindsay DeRocher from BSU. Mark has been working with me on the on working to turn our survey into something that was much more comprehensive and ongoing. So with that, Mark.
My name is Mark Wibbold, and as Jane has mentioned, I'm an employee of Portland State University, and in keeping with our letting knowledge serve the city, we are helping out with this effort, and we consider this a very important effort. The first slide that you're looking at is just largely a graphic, and we just wanted to show you the density of the institutions of higher ed and also the hospitals that are involved in this work. The actual survey participants are listed there on the left-hand side, or my left-hand side. We hope to expand that number. You can see there are many more institutions than there are survey participants, and we hope to expand that in time. This is the type of, right now we're calling it, well, information. Hopefully it will in time become data. In fact, the iPads information that we're getting is already data. We're collecting from the Integrated Post-Secondary Education Data System, which is U.S. Department of Education data that's routinely gathered from all the institutions. And we're also collecting survey data, and the survey has been created by Jane and is now being hosted on a PSU server. It's about 25 questions, I think, and they're mostly qualitative, having to do with the environment, having to do with things that we can't get from the national data pool. And then we're also doing GPS data because we'd like to, as we did in the first slide, we'd like to be able to show you the location of some of these clusters as we determine them. So the GPS data will be important in the future. The idea is that all of this data will flow to a common data pool, which will be maintained or is currently maintained at Portland State University, and then we could serve queries to the database and offer up reports, and they would be in the form of targeted industry reports, or we could also do individual institutional reports. This is IPEDS data that we can currently collect, having to do with salary range. You can see there's quite a range. This is an example of what that data looks like when it comes in on a spreadsheet. This is the kind of information that we're gathering using our survey, and this mainly has to do, like I said earlier, with environmental issues, stormwater management, parking spaces, things like that, more of the qualitative things that Commissioner Adams mentioned earlier. The output of all of this could be information that's targeted to work that you're all doing around clusters or the Portland Development Commission is doing around clusters. So, for example, if you wanted to track a specific degree, let's in this case use speech communications, what we could tell you from this database is that the demand is whatever it is, and this is based on Department of Employment statistics that we have, that a projected increase in our region, Multnomah, Washington counties, by 2014 would be an 18% increase. We can tell you what universities are currently meeting or providing that particular degree. This is just a very surface kind of first blush look at what that data could be could look like in a GPS output. And there's just so many different ways that this data could be used to support economic development strategies and some of the other things that Jane's talked about. So we're moving forward with this, and we're trying to integrate the qualitative web survey with the routine iPads downloads that we're making. And I think our next step will probably be, are you going to talk about that?
No, but okay. This would be to gather a technical team.
Right, would be to gather a technical team and to fine-tune this and move it forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, it's now my pleasure to introduce Jim Francisconi, who's leading the effort on Portland's higher education subcommittee, and also joining him will be Preston Pulliams from President of PCC, Mark Edlin, Principal of Gurney Edlin Development, and Lindsay DeRoche, Vice President for Finance Administration at PSU.
Thank you, everyone. This will be the entire testimony. Preston is also a member of the Higher Ed Board with me, and he's co-chairing this effort of greater Portland, and he's going to talk in more detail about the access side of what we're trying to accomplish. Lindsay DeRoche, as you all know, is the Vice President of Finance and Administration at Portland State and is part of our effort, as is the provost of all the institutions, not only in the greater Portland, but also OIT, Eastern, University of Oregon, and Oregon State. And then Mark Edlin is a member of this committee, as is Commissioner Adams. And in addition to Mark, Tim Boyle's part of this, as well as John Morgan. The idea is assembling the institutions with the business community, with the community as well. Not present today is Brent Stewart from United Way, Patricia Martinez from OCHA. So what I'd like to do is briefly say the history and purpose of this committee. Leslie Halleck and Tom Imason are chairing the graduate and research side of this. Unfortunately, they cannot be here. So I'll give you a brief overview of that, and you have materials in front of you. Then Preston will do the access side, and then Lindsay and Mark. And we really hope this will trigger some discussion from you or questions. Commissioner Adams is a member of this group, but to execute this, it's not only going to take the legislature, it's not only going to take the business community, but it's also going to take you. And you've all been advocates of education. Some of you have graduated from Portland State PCC. Commissioner Salson was on the board. You've all been strong supporters of those institutions. And as we get more specific here, we've tried to build on the work that you've already done. And it's a plea for help from you, not only in terms of advocating from the legislature, but also executing these strategies, because it's not going to be possible for the institutions or the legislature themselves to do this. So the history of this is that the Higher Ed Board did ask me to chair this committee with Preston. The governor, the Higher Ed Board, picked Portland along with three other strategic initiatives because they recognize that Portland is the economic, greater Portland is the economic engine for the rest of the state. And the higher ed institutions, as Commissioner Adams say, are key to, in terms of research, graduate programs, workforce programs, to stimulating the economy, which benefits the whole state. And so that was one reason they selected this. The second is we're going to have, as you know, 700,000 more residents in greater Portland over the next 20 years, according to population studies, 25% of whom will be Hispanics. And so the governor and the higher ed board are also interested in how we provide access to higher ed. And so that's the reason. And what this is leading up to is a legislative agenda for OUS requesting major dollars in the second round of higher ed funding coming before the legislature. So this is about redirecting some existing resources from the institutions. It's about new resources from the legislature aimed at higher ed in greater Portland. And it's about going for other partners to help assist this. That's the goal. And there's three specific strategies that are going to be advanced that we're going to discuss. One is increasing access, and Preston's going to do this. Commissioner Adams is right that our numbers are relatively good for higher ed, but the problem is a lot of those numbers are met by people moving here with college degrees. The rate in Portland for access is slightly higher. For white non-Hispanics, it's 22% go on to college for all white non-Hispanics. But if you're Hispanic, it's 11%. You're African American, it's 19%. And then there's a third dropout on part of those numbers. So collectively, we have to do something to address the access issues that Preston will talk about. Secondly, on the research side, so the goal there is to increase, to at least double the numbers that we've just presented. on the research side and the knowledge generation, the goal is to significantly increase, and we're going to quantify this. We haven't yet done that. The annually externally sponsored research expenditures, the number of business startups and invention disclosures, and the graduate programs that are directly related to economic development. And then the final goal is to increase the number of outside champions for higher ed, which it may include the creation of an external advocacy group advocating for the community colleges and higher ed the way that there's external advocacy groups advocating for K-12 now. And that's another area we can need your help. Turning now to the, so if you have any questions about how this got formed or the purposes, feel free to ask. Turning to the second subject with more specificity now on where we're going on the graduate and research side, and again, Leslie Halleck chaired this group. The provosts of all the institutions were there. The idea is to build upon the strengths of our modern urban research university, Portland State, build closer collaborations with OHSU without a forced merger. This group was asked to make a recommendation on the merger report, but also then build with University of Oregon in terms of their strengths, Oregon State with their strengths, create a collaborative, because individually we're never going to catch up to the University of Washington. But if we build this collaborative, building on existing strengths, that's the idea. So our first recommendation is something that you set the stage for. It's creating a research triangle on that extends not only South Waterfront, but across to OMSI and PCC. And in this research triangle, it's creating a new South Waterfront life sciences facility with PSU's life sciences building there combined with OHSU. And a place for Oregon State's pharmacy program, University of Oregon to have a location, and OHSU is in favor of this. That's why I wish they were here, with an so they could tell you this. So all the efforts that you've done to set the stage in terms of transportation infrastructure and others helps create a hub right here in the life sciences. And the focus areas that the provosts are looking at are life sciences, biomedical engineering, pharmacy, public health, biomedical informatics, bioactive compounds, astrobiology, nanomedicine, and other fields. And so the institutions are collaborating on this. This is going to be a major budget request that the governor is very interested in that we advance to the next legislature that we're going to need your help on. The second specific recommendation, and you're ahead, you're leading this, and Mark Edlin has really been, is how do we build on Portland's and Oregon's green reputation by infusing sustainability as the key ingredient in the institutions that are here? So what that means is starting with sustainable physical campuses as a models to emulate with the goal of zero carbon. And so we're talking about that, about how we're going to actually do that. But we're also talking about adding faculty and funding other initiatives to fully develop core multidisciplinary research in areas such as intelligent transportation systems that Portland State is already doing a lot in, integrated water resource management, sustainable urban design and community development, sustainable business practices, green science and technology, environmental law, sustainable public policy development. And again, it's not just Portland State. They're going to be a leader of this, but Oregon's done some things in this arena. Actually, all the institutions have. So that we understand there needs more specificity, and we would like your help, but the provosts are actively working on it. These are the two major recommendations. But the second, then there's two others in the second category. And again, this group that we've attached the membership has agreed upon this to you. The second two are to develop a product design program in Portland led by the University of Oregon, supported by Tim Boyle, Columbia Sportswear, as well as Nike. The whole issue of product design fits with our economy and fits with where we're at. And there will be areas for Portland State to participate as well as the other institutions, with University of Oregon being the lead. The other area is we still have a very vibrant, unlike other areas, manufacturing economy. So materials, metals, and manufacturing led by Portland State and with expanding the research capacity with new faculty positions aligned with the industry. So these are the four areas, with the primary two being the life sciences facility and sustainability, that's going to form the frame of some budget requests, as well as reallocating of assets in this arena as we move forward. So I hope you have some questions or advice in this arena. Regarding, but none of this, but everyone understands that everybody has to have access to these, not just the privileged few. Preston.
Well, first of all, good afternoon to Mayor Potter and to the commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity just to spend a few minutes talking about this endeavor, and thank you for your support of not only public education, but certainly higher education. I just want to acknowledge the leadership Jim's provided also in chairing this work. The piece I'm about and very excited about is the talk about access for more of our area students and residents to higher education. There appears to be two barriers that prevent some of our residents and some of our even our students from continuing and completing higher education. And they're kind of in two areas. One is there is often a financial barrier in terms of particularly low-income families being able to afford higher education. The other part is a psychological, cultural barrier in terms of some groups not being able to access higher education. And so there are two broad strategies to address those barriers and those issues. The first is what I call breaking down the silos. How can we, across higher education, work closer together to address the affordability and the access issue? The second is a need for more outreach throughout our community, particularly through the high schools and particularly through middle schools and even earlier, in terms of accessing some of these populations and groups that to talk about the opportunities and the benefits of higher education, and more importantly, to break through the psychological barrier in terms that there is a place for you at one of our state universities, at community colleges. In those two grand strategies, there are just several strategies that we've discussed, and we are working together to refine those and talk later about details as we continue our work. One is, I talked about breaking down the silos. That's, for lack of a better descriptor, is something that I call university centers. How can community colleges and state universities come together with coordinated programs? We are racing to catch up with our students, many of which at my institution also enrolls at PSU and also move around our region in terms of enrollment. How can we make those more functioning, more systematic, with coordinated programs? The other is taking on a big idea to kind of break down the sense for some that financially or that impossible in terms to access higher education. And we're looking for, and there are a number of models across the country in terms of Georgia Promise, the efforts here throughout our area and public-private partnerships, how we're thinking about how we can provide almost a guarantee for those low-income families of support. The shared responsibility model was a big step in the right direction. We want to complement that with public and private partnership. The other strategy deals with how do we enhance early outreach programs, as I said earlier, in middle and high school, and create really early successful intervention, partnering with mentoring in terms of working, particularly in our middle schools. This mentoring effort has brought much success throughout the country in terms of raising college participation rate. Last but not least, there are great models around the country. Also, we're exploring how we can join these programs together in terms of dual enrollment for a number of high school students to also have an experience in higher education, to be oriented to higher education. It is quite obvious that even in some of our high schools, that some of the students do not fit into the traditional model. How can we break that model, do dual enrollment, and get those students exposed and excited about higher education? Pretty much ends that.
Is that it? Okay. Lindsay DeRoche, Portland State. First of all, I want to acknowledge Jim Francesconi and Preston, who have put in endless hours to working with a very large group of people representing a lot of institutions and a lot of sectors of the community here in Portland. great leadership, and we really appreciate it. Thank you both. Okay, so I'm going to take this in a just a little bit different direction, but I won't be very long. All across the country, there really is an increasing realization by organizations like the CEO Cities and by just plain metro leadership that the universities and colleges in the midst of these metro areas are really precious assets. They're assets which are not or should not be the terrain of only an elite class of people. Rather, they're assets which really are the hope of many families for a better life for their students and a productive, energized opportunity to be of value to society for their children and more often for working adults. And most human beings really wish to be of value and have opportunity to be of value to society. Further, there's really an increasing realization that regions which know this and which foster those institutions, rather than simply tolerate them, are really the communities that are going to succeed. There's a realization that the universities and colleges fuel the manpower needs for business, government, and the not-for-profit sector, and most especially that the creative knowledge builders are drawn to affiliations with universities. Working in and with university faculties and students, these special energizing people really create new ideas. And those ideas actually have direct significant impacts, both financial and otherwise, on the community at large. So at Portland State, we've crafted our institution into a totally engaged institution. We have over 400 community engagements at any given time, and you just saw a demonstration of one here earlier with Mark Wubald, who's providing some service to the city to help you develop the study that you wish to do on universities overall and colleges overall. Our students are really not encouraged to just stay on the campus. They are encouraged to go into the community, and in fact, it's mandatory that they go into the community, and they work from every school and college, urban and public affairs, engineering, the business school, performing arts, liberal arts and sciences. They work broadly to bring the best ideas they can out into the community, and they earn credit in doing that. It's deeply gratifying when we get calls from small business organizations or local government organizations. That small business organization says, we have not only saved our business organization, but we're now thriving because of that student group you gave us to work with us on that problem. We get those calls all the time at Portland State. Now, Portland State's always partnered with the Portland Metro Region, with the City Council. I've been here before and been very grateful to the City of Portland for the way in which it partners. No town gown problems with Portland State. But we are really at a new juncture now in this city. And the city needs to dial up the volume. The university has to catch up with its past growth. We have to focus attention on the future growth. And in this, we seek your further partnership. We're going to need some commitment to assure that we still have urban renewal as a tool to do this. And we, as the anchor institution, the comprehensive urban research institution in the city, will need to partner with other institutions, as this study that Jim and Preston have just done illustrate. We want to work with other institutions in the metro region to create a full set of offerings that all the citizens in our community deserve and our economy demands. So I've had about 28, going on 29 years of university management at this point in my career, including building a new campus down in the California, University of California system. I've got broad knowledge of what works around the country, I believe. Portland really is a grand and wonderful community, but Portland has to embrace more strategically its higher education community so that a true thoughtful partnership is cemented to ensure that this great city gets the great system of higher education it really needs. Portland State's been working with the Oregon University System Board, with Director Francisconi and Preston Pulliams, along with the other institutions, with OHSU, PCC, on an agenda that can leverage the full impact of higher education in the metro region. One of our ideas, Preston's alluded to this, is to take higher education and really get us down and dirty inside the city schools more. My experience in California suggests that unless you get university faculty and students reaching all the way down to the middle schools and creating that sense of urgency in the middle schools for children to understand that they can go on to higher education, unless you get those faculty and students working with teachers, you're missing the boat. The pipeline won't get any bigger until you get that in place. And it's got to be done systematically, not just hit and miss, not just a scattershot. Especially exciting also in this set of ideas is also alluded to by Jim, is the relationship which we can build between Portland State and OHSU now that the streetcar connects us down to the waterfront. And soon the light rail will connect us as well. There is a potential to create a science education corridor in the south central city of Portland, from OMSI to the waterfront at Schnitzer campus to Portland State. We now can integrate some of our scientists working together down at the waterfront and bring some of the teachers in from OMSI when the streetcar or the light rail brings them across the river. This is going to integrate disciplines that is going to synergize certain research streams that are already started, such as drug discovery. We have a very critical research group at Portland State that if they can work with OHSU and in particular the pharmacy school, OSU, on the waterfront, could create new industry in this area. So we're very excited about that. It's biosciences. It's one of the target industries of the city, and it's something that really, frankly, in my view, is a no-brainer. Finally, Portland State must catch up with its very significant growth and growth to come. We're at 25,000 now. We're moving to 30,000 within the next decade easily.